Not at all.
So the other day, yeah, Thursday, I just randomly remembered your hospital story, and I started crying because
Which one?
that man that had you in a cupboard.
Oh yeah, no, that is mad. It was mad in a cell. In a seven, no, I don't know how small it was, but it was like the smallest office in the building. And I was in there for about 5 hours.
Long. Anyway, what's going on? How is everyone? Femi, you're not driving, you're in a car, right? You're not actually driving.
No, I'm not driving. I'm on my way home from set.
Okay.
What are you shooting at the moment?
Don't even know if I'm allowed to say, but
Oh, is it top secret?
no, but I can say what it is, and then I'm sure the people don't listen to Cut the Chat, but if they do, I'm pissed, innit? So I'm making a show about the evolution, called The Evolution of Black British Music. So looking at Black British music for the past 30 years.
Sick.
So
Documentary.
starting with jungle, then into UK garage, grime, funky house, road rap and drill.
Sick. What, it's a series?
It's a five-part series
For, can you say who it's for?
for TV channel.
Not a streaming channel, a TV channel.
For TV channel in the UK, I'm
Who's
probably
hosting it, man? I think I would have been amazing for that.
there's no host.
There's no, you're lying.
Yes, interview led as opposed to a host led.
There's no voiceover thing or nothing.
I might boss you on that still, but
Trust
don't
me.
quote me on it.
I'm the, because I am the voice. You
What,
know what
of
I'm
the
saying?
past 30 years? To be
Yeah, of
fair,
the past 30 years.
I might boss you on that because like, I know you're at home bored.
The advert that you done the other day with my man's voice in it, my man's voicing over
Dude.
Abra, sounded decent still, bun ace.
Why are you doing that, man? Allow it.
Abra on everything.
Yeah, he's, I'm not gonna lie, Abba's voice is hard though.
No, you know why I wanted to
Was.
use Abra's voice for that? Because it was like I wanted it to be surprising. No one would expect
We're losing Femi.
we've lost them in the source. So well, go on, Ace, how you doing today? How you feeling?
I'm good.
It's
I'm
just
back on the
not
radio.
something he does, right?
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Femi's voice just caught up. yeah, I'm good. I'm back on the radio. So there's something for me to do during the day, which is fun. I'm co-hosting with Shorty from home, and the R&B show started last Sunday. So yeah, I'm just working. I'm back to work, which is cool.
Yeah.
I just can't leave the house yet.
Okay. Health wise, you good?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Getting there?
Yeah, just I just need to fix up the eating. I'm snacking a lot, but that's because I'm bored. I need to stop that or snack on good things.
You know what's mad? That is, it's weird that you people eat when they're bored, isn't it? Like, see, if I'm at work and I haven't got any customers, which is rare, it's just boredom. I just think, oh, what can I have to eat? It's just, it's.
100%.
It's mad. Did you see the weight loss of the Australian girl, the actor? Maybe you know her. She always plays that funny fat girl in she was in what's that singing film? She's blonde.
Oh, yeah, I know you're talking about. What is yeah? What is the name of that film? It's not. Oh my God, what is the name of that film?
It Pitch Perfect?
It, yeah, yes, Pitch Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you seen her weight loss journey?
Nah.
You wouldn't recognize her.
And what did she say she did to lose the weight?
She just got fit and ate better. But basically she was doing an interview and I was watching it and an issue that she raised was she's a an actress that has made millions in her films. She goes, when she told her team that she wants to kind of get her health in order and start eating properly and lose weight, her team was like, why do you want to do that? Like, why would you want to do that? And she was like, what? And like, yeah, but you're the funny fat woman.
That's your brand.
Basically, yeah.
That's basically your brand, yeah.
That's your
I
brand.
get it. I get it. They must have been worried.
They're stressed, boy.
When bro. When I told you, you won't recognize. You would just look at her and think, why do I recognize this woman's face? That's all that will happen. You would just be like, why do I recognize this woman's face? But what she did say is she had to kind of look at herself and realize that her eating was basically to for comfort, you know, like, because she realized like she wasn't dealing with fame properly. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, so she was eating as, you know, as comfort and whatever else. But she goes, the sad thing is that she's got more interest about her weight loss journey than she's ever had for any of her films.
Wow.
And she, and then she, you know, she was like, is this what women need to do to just get
attention?
Attention, just lose weight.
And like, the thing is, I do feel like her movie career will suffer because that was she was kind of typecasted as that was her thing.
But I don't
think that is her brand.
I don't think it will suffer because even when it's weird and this is bad, but even when watching her interview, I took her seriously. Do you know what I mean? Like before.
No, but if she's a comedian, then she's not as funny anymore.
But I don't know if she's a comedian. She just does comedic roles. But that doesn't necessarily mean, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think she was like a, I don't know, she might have been like, but I don't think she was a stand-up comedian and then just started doing film. Like, as you said, she got typecast. But when I was looking at her today on this interview, I just took her, like, seriously. So she wasn't the token fat, funny girl. You were just a, and that's not good. And obviously that's what she's talking about in her interview. But yeah.
Big up to her, man.
Big up.
Hopefully she gets some more movie roles.
Yeah.
Is Australia on the red list, by the way?
Baba, there's so much money in Australia. I don't know.
Femi.
Yo.
How do you feel about Nigeria being on the red list, bro?
It's a little bit racist, isn't it? Let's be real. So I went to Nigeria and they were more strict on COVID than here. I went to Nigeria 2 weeks ago. They were like, you had to wear a mask to go everywhere. They were checking temperatures. They had these sprays. You know the toilet spray that you got, yeah? And that you get where it spritz out whatever it's inside it. They had these sprays, but they filled it with antibacterial and they were spraying it on your hand whenever you walked anywhere. They were on it. I'm going underground, so it might cut out, but it's mad racist.
I mean, I've heard a lot of people say that, and I think a lot of the reason that people are saying it's racist is because there are more cases of the Omarion variant in Europe than there is in... I think there was only like 7 cases in Nigeria.
Sorry, Ace, did you call it Omarion?
That's what everyone's calling it.
That's funny.
There was more cases in like Germany than there were in Nigeria. Mm. But Nigeria happens to be on the red list, which is interesting.
You know what?
I feel like a lot of people are worried that Ghana's next.
They realize, yeah, that 99.2% of black people in this country dip out to Nigeria and Ghana for the Christmas and New Year's, and they don't want that. They want the P. They want the black pound this year for Christmas and New Year's. Because I know bare people that are making big plans. Their plans have just been shed now.
No, apparently the hack is, yeah, you fly to Nigeria. Then you go to Ghana for 10 days.
Yeah.
And you fly back. That's the hack. Yeah.
That's what my sister said.
So what if Ghana ends up on the red list though?
Then she can just turn
it. Have you seen have you seen that film The Terminal? With Tom Hanks?
Yeah. That's what you gotta do. You stay in a hotel in the airport.
Bro, don't just get stuck somewhere randomly because one country don't want you back and one country don't want you in. Yeah, don't do that. That's so long.
Apparently, that's the reason that the Millennium Tour has been cancelled.
I'll be real, yeah.
That's the reason that... What, sorry, Ace?
The Millennium Show, that Millennium Tour show. The Omarion and them, man. Because of them... they're basically scared to get caught over here and not be able to fly back to America. So the Omarion and Bow Wow show is not happening. Yeah, I think they're trying to reschedule it for next year, but they've cancelled the show.
weren't a lot of people saying that they caught COVID from the Wizkid concert from the last one?
I did hear that, you know.
Were they calling it the Wiz flu or something? Wizkid flu or something?
I was there, though. I didn't catch COVID.
Wait, which show did you go to, though?
I went on Sunday, Monday, Wednesday. I went on Monday.
They say, yeah, people are saying it was the last show that they caught.
Hey, guys, can we talk about this Wizkid show, yeah?
Yeah.
Can we talk about the fact that Wizkid blew my mind? And I'll tell you why it blew my mind. Not even because of the music, because I've seen Wizkid play quite a few times now. I think he's good. I think he's got hits. He's got a lot of hits. Not many people can compete for hits, right? And do you know what blew my mind? That's the most black people I've ever seen at the O2 in my life. I've been to Drake shows. I've been to all sorts of shows. And what blew my mind about it, yeah, was that Wizkid sold out in 15 minutes. But almost exclusively to black people who allegedly do not buy tickets.
See, you are like the eighth person I've heard say this exact thing. That couple of things they got. Normally, as you say, normally you go to any rap concert or whatever in the O2. Black people are not the majority. Like they're not the majority. But I'm hearing that, yeah.
I'm really thinking hard to try and prove you wrong, but you're right, you're so right. I've been to so many shows at the O2 and you're right.
I'm
majority black.
I've never seen a show at the O2, yeah, have such black appeal in my life. And it just blew my mind because it made me realize that actually there is a market in making content for black people. Like you could sell out to 60,000 black people. Remember, they're spending what, $1 billion on tickets? That's 60. Let's imagine like the average price they paid was £100. That's 60,000 black people paying $1 billion.
Crazy.
Of tickets to go and see this African artist that, you know, has been building his career for the past 10 years, but really only blew up here like maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And so for me, that was out of this world. Like I've been to Drake concerts. I've been to several Drake concerts at the O2. And it's majority young white people. This was, I'm talking like 85-90% black people. And even my brethren, he said he was at the O2, went for dinner with his missus. He said he came out and he's West Indian. He goes, I've never seen so many Africans in my life.
Oh man. I'm sad I missed
this. This is how distinct, like, you know, the Africanness of it all. Even like I pulled up with my mumsy, you know, I went with mumsy.
Swear down.
Yeah, yeah. I know enough people that went with their uncles, with their aunts. I know enough people there were big people in the place.
No, because what happened was my mum, my sister jinnles me. She was like, obviously my sister works at Wizkid's label. And so she's like, everyone was doing their Wizkid ticket thing. I was like, you know, I'm patterned. So I call her, she patterns my ticket. And she's like, oh, I'm taking mummy as well. I goes, oh, that's nice of you. And then on the day I'm going, she's like, you're going to be looking after mummy, yeah? Because I've got to work. I'm like, no, you said you were taking mummy. You didn't say I was taking mummy to the concert. She's like, oh, is it going to be a problem? I'm like, of course not. It's my mum, innit? It's not going to be a problem. But I just feel a little bit finessed right now. Because
You know what's funny about this whole thing? Firstly, the way she slightly stuck it on you. You see, if anyone says to you, is it going to be a problem? Yeah.
There's only one answer.
Secondly, she's just getting you back for Wingstop. That's all.
Oh, tell them about the Wingstop.
There's nothing to tell them. You bumped your sister. You stole your sister's card and you gave it to people and they was rinsing Wingstop.
That's funny. You know, my sister, they were on to me about this Wingstop card. It was just, anyway, let's not talk about it. They might watch this as well. All these people might be watching. I always think no one listens to Cut the Chat until I bump into actual fans of Cut the Chat inside Wingstop as I'm getting my free wings.
Mad thing.
Legit, actual fans. I can't remember the guy's name now, but big up the guy that came up to me in Wingstop and was like, it always confuses me when people are like, yeah, man, keep up the podcast. And I'm like, raw. It's not just the man them talking to each other. People actually care.
People actually pay attention. You're right.
Yeah, like it really takes me aback. I think podcast fame is the one that shocks me the most.
I think that's why I get worried when you lot start getting reckless. Like, I'm obviously, we have to talk about the Mobos tonight, but I'm a bit praying about what you man might say or not say, or in the way that you might say it, that will get anybody in trouble.
The thing is,
you didn't watch it, did you?
Who, me?
Yeah.
From you told me it's on YouTube.
I didn't watch it as well.
You lost your mind.
Why? Like, YouTube is a platform that streams content. Like, why does it matter if it's on YouTube or BBC One or ITV?
I'm a T white man. Where's the Brit Awards?
Yeah, they got money. They got MasterCard money.
Brother, MOBO was sponsored by MasterCard. It probably still is sponsored by MasterCard.
I don't think it is anymore.
Was it sponsored by Monzo now?
I think it was sponsored by YouTube.
Listen.
YouTube definitely had peace.
Listen to what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I get it, and I understand business, and I understand all of that kind of stuff. What you're telling me, I've got to go and log on something and type in something and stuff.
Nah, bro. You're being ignorant. YouTube is a legit platform now to watch things. It's not once upon a time when we just used to watch cat videos on there or like happy stuff. Right. They show like real content on there now.
Like what?
Like, you can watch, they got their own shows. I watched the documentary about the boy. Have you seen that? I watched some sick documentary about...
You're scrambling.
No, I'm not. There's legit stuff on YouTube is my point. They have their own channel and you can use it as a TV channel as well as
you
just...
You know what? This is kind of like what Femi said the other day about back in the day when his films went straight to Netflix, people looked at it as man's fallen off. Whereas now your film's going straight to Netflix.
Big thing.
That's the bag. So I get it. I understand that YouTube as a platform, people watch YouTube, but for the UK's biggest black music awards, man shouldn't have to be going onto computer or on man's phone and all that to watch that, bro. No,
Eamon, you're being an uncle right now.
You are. You're 100% being an uncle.
You see YouTube. YouTube is on TVs.
Yes.
You're absolutely correct.
It's a channel you could go to on your TV, bro.
You're absolutely correct. I know it is. I'm not disputing that. But you see when I come in my house, yeah, I'm picking up one remote control because, yeah. Look, I am being an uncle and I admit that I'm being an uncle. But for me, I just looked at it like, nah, fam. Nah.
You know what it is as well? More people have got access to... More people probably watch YouTube than watch BBC One.
Facts.
It's a bigger platform, bruv. It's actually big. Facts. More people watch YouTube than
I'm
BBC
not saying,
One.
I'm not saying it's not a big platform. At no point am I disrespecting YouTube.
And YouTube got a billion users.
Okay.
That's okay. One in six human being.
I hear you, Femi. I hear you. Like... Cool. I'm not saying that I'm not wrong with my opinion. Yeah. I'm not saying I'm not wrong. This is the thing with the MOBO Awards, yeah, and all other music award shows. I don't watch the whole thing. I flick backwards and forwards. So I watch something, then I go back to what I'm watching and I'll, do you understand what I'm saying? So for me, it was just long. It was never gonna happen. Yeah. That's the honest truth of it. Like, I wasn't gonna sit down and watch the MOBOs from start to finish. So I didn't watch it, but you watched it, Ace, because yes. You were throwing a lot of comments in our WhatsApp group. I'm not going to say what those comments were.
I will say this. I think the performances were A1. The performances were really good. Parsalu, I like that you a lot. Any killed it. Gets, obviously, entered the show well. Big up to him. He won Best Male as well. Who else performed? Potter Paper, Stefan Banks. It was a good lineup. The show was good. I didn't miss the Bree Runway at the beginning, but all the performances I saw were great. Staging was right. It just looked good. You know what I mean? And what other highlights do I have from the show? DJ Abrantly. It was the first time we saw him publicly since he had his stroke 4 years ago and he's worked his way back. So it was awesome to see him on the stage. And I don't feel like there was any controversy with the winners, which there always is when an award show happens, people get upset about who won what. But I don't feel like anybody can really argue with any of the winners this year. Even if you don't follow a certain artist that won something, you wouldn't be angry with who won the award. So I feel like they got it 80% right.
Well, right, okay. So this is the thing from what I know, yeah. And I've said this for years. You see award ceremonies, whether it's music or film, I honestly believe, and I stick by my view, is that they should be hosted by stand-up comedians. And the reason they should be hosted by stand-up comedians, because a stand-up comedian's job is to talk to a mass of people and keep them entertained. When they have special guests, Munya and...
Liam Pinnock.
Mm. I didn't watch it, but I was seeing comments on Instagram saying, listen, got mad love for Munya, but you're out of your depth. You're out of your league. This isn't your lane. And that's a shame because, but as I said, I haven't seen it, but I kind of understand the comments.
I think Munya, he played the cards he was dealt with, yeah? And I also think, especially, and I've worked at the Mobos. Me and Viz did the backstage thing one year when they were like cutting from us. So I kind of know how they work. And a lot of that stuff is written for you.
Yeah.
And I feel like if they give a comedian like Munya the opportunity to host a show, they shouldn't. I don't even know if this is true, but I feel like the jokes that were written yesterday, he didn't write. You can tell the ones that he was that quick thinking, because he's a really quick guy, super quick thinking guy. You can tell when he's off the cuff and he's thinking. But the ones that were like, you say a bit, I say a bit, and it's going to be a joke, they just were like, they weren't flying.
But I find that happens every year, because you can see they're reading from an auto cue thing. So the timing is all off. I don't get it.
And that's why what you're saying is right. Like, comedians are there to improvise, do just off their head stuff. You just got to trust them. And if they're not going to write jokes, they would have written the jokes before.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that's also why they kind of brought, and I feel like the Eddie thing, again, I'm just speculating. I feel like them bringing in Eddie was definitely last minute, because they knew they needed that off the cuff person that can just bust joke in the crowd. Something happens, I'm going to react to it. And I feel like Eddie did a good job at that. And I just think some of the written stuff just didn't quite drop. But big up to Munya. Do you know what? I feel phony because Munya's on my show tomorrow, and we had an awesome interview. But the truth is, he did a good job. I just think some of that written stuff just didn't quite fly. Just didn't hit.
It's not like this is going to be headline news tomorrow.
I hope not.
DJ Ace says Munya did a good job, but some of the written stuff didn't fly.
I hope
not. What about Liam Pinnock? Was she banter? Was she funny?
That wasn't really what she was there for. Obviously, she was doing the setup jokes.
Right. Just brief me. Who is Liam Pinnock again? I know the name.
She's from Little Mix.
She's in a Mel's film. We talk about a Mel's film. Boxing Day.
She's from Little Mix.
Yeah. They just broke up.
See, all of that kind of stuff there, yeah. I don't know. But, you know, if somebody gives you the opportunity to get the bag, why are you not going to take it?
I don't think there's a bag in Mobiles.
Whatever it is, whether it's financial, whether it's getting your
Ace,
your
is their bag. Is their bag?
Ace, you're on mute. Well, we can't hear you.
Ace, is their bag in Mobiles?
Yo.
Yeah, better.
Okay. They're bad.
What do you mean? What? Do you get paid to present at the Mobos?
I don't think there's a bag.
Of course you get paid.
Big peas.
Well, no, I don't think we got big peas, but I'm sure when Trevor or the year we did it with Mel B and it wasn't Trevor, Mel B and someone else. I can't remember who it was. That's so bad that I can't remember that. But I'm sure they would have got paid 100%.
I feel like they might do it for promo, but yeah.
Nah, I don't feel like Liam Pinnock could have done it for promo. She doesn't need it.
The thing is, you see these things, yeah? There's always going to be complaints, isn't it? There's always going to be, could have been better. You know what I mean? It's always going to be, somebody's always not going to be happy. But can we say that it's getting better? Because there was a time that the mobo dropped ridiculously to the point where people's like, just cancel the thing because it's dead.
I feel like when it was dead, music was dead. Like, we forget that there was about three years when music was just crap. It was shit. It was absolutely shit. So I don't feel like it was Mobo's fault. Like, all the underground stuff was good, but the stuff that was in the mainstream, we were seeing some of our favorite artists making the worst music ever just to chart. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And during that time, that was what was considered like our scene but the music was dead. So I feel like when Mobo's was dead, when the scene was dead. I remember being a radio DJ, like, I don't want to say the years because then it would, like, people were associated to certain artists. But I remember being on the radio during that time when I feel like music was crap. And it was hard to get up and go in just to listen to 3 hours of absolute nonsense. And then it started to get good again.
Okay. It's a good
point. Do you think Black British music's then the best state it's ever been, Ace?
Are we talking financially, creativity?
Everything.
I think it's the most recognized without a shadow of a doubt. Like, it's setting trends that the world's eyes are on us 100%. So I would say yes, actually, in regards to industry, even if you don't necessarily feel the music, there's never been a time like this. Do you know what I'm saying? We're talking about, like, artists that are millionaires, fam, that are doing world tours. Like, there was a time we never would have seen that unless they were, like, doing super pop music. But they're doing stuff from the road and selling out shows across the world. This is amazing. This has never been done before. Never. Beautiful. It's amazing. Even if you don't love the music, you got to just say, like, this young black men and black women are really, like, making the bag and creating jobs for people, like, that they grew up with, people around. Like, it's amazing. It's absolutely insane.
So, yes, you know what I can say, yeah? There was a time where radio was 95% American music, like, during the day. Now, like, and the thing is, it's now the norm as well, because there's a point where, you know, like, you heard a British track, and it stood out because it's like, right, okay, right, what, they made the radio. That's mad. Now, it's the norm. It's the norm to turn on your station or turn on, like, Capital Extra or whatever, and just hear UK music and it's not a UK music show. Do you know what I mean? Like, before, it would be, like, the UK rap show or a UK music show or whatever, whereas now it's just like, no, this is the music that is being played around the world. I remember years ago, we're talking what? Probably about 10 years ago. I was in Australia. I was in the gym in Australia. It might have been longer. I was in the gym in Australia and they played the Dizzy Rascal track. You know, like, if you go into most gyms now, they've got the TV and they're playing a music video, whatever. They played the Dizzy Rascal track here. And I was so gassed. And I messaged him. I'm like, brother, you know your song just on the playlist in the gym in Australia? Yeah. And I think my man messaged me back something like cha-ching or something like that. Like, I'm like, this guy. I think the other day, either yesterday, the day before, I was hearing an interview from Tion Wayne at the Mobos, and he was talking about his manager just keeps on giving him plaques, and he's just thinking, oh, whatever. And I think it was a plaque for Canada, like going platinum in Canada or something. Like, the music is out there. The music, Black British music, is just around the world standardly. You're absolutely right. Whether you're partial to it or not, you can't deny it. It's they're out there. They're like, Giggs is walking down the road in LA. A man's proper on him, like, yo, the landlord, like,
yeah,
people, they're known.
Even here, like, we obviously all, like, celebrated the fact that WizKid sold out the O2 in 3 nights or whatever, but D-Block Europe sold out the O2, and that was part of a UK tour where they were selling out arenas across the UK. It's like, these things don't, this is not normal. This is not normal. This is amazing, like amazing feats, amazing things happening. I think sometimes we take it for granted, but this is huge. These things weren't happening 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. I think these two are amazing. I feel like it shouldn't work. There are two rappers, yeah, singing with autotune, talking about Cunnilingus.
Yeah.
Every song.
It's mad catchy though, isn't it?
Every song's Cunnilingus. Every song
is that, yeah.
Yeah. Is something is that about their girl and their face. Yeah. Every single song. Literally. And it shouldn't work, but it's fantastic because it does.
It does.
It's about spending money. It's about maybe shutting a little bit. But it's mostly about their girl and their face. And mad catchy. Come like a UK version of Future or like Lil Wayne or it's and they've been charting like these kids have been charting and they're barely played on radio. They don't even really play them on radio like that. But their songs have been in they've had like imagine like Damon, they've had like in 18 months or like 2 years, they've had 4 albums in the top 20, but independently.
Insane, man. Look at like what Young T and Bugsy did during quarantine and they had the most played record in the world.
That was a global smash.
People didn't even know what they looked like, but that was the biggest record on social media. Like, this stuff is not normal, bruv. Like,
isn't one of them man they married or something?
Young Ads, I think Young Ads is married.
Is it that one?
Yeah.
No, you see that man there, yeah? You know what's nice about what you just said about Young T and Bugsy, yeah? Like, it wasn't a plan. Like, it was a plan, because your plan is always to be dominant in whatever field you're in. But it's like, you know, like, it wasn't manufactured. It wasn't like an X Factor where Simon Cowell said, listen, if this is what we're going to do, this is the plan, you're going to be this. Their man had just done, were just doing what they loved. Yeah, doing what they love. And you've got the most played song in the world just off of just doing what you love that probably started off in your bedroom or on the block or youth club or something. Like, that's wild. That's absolutely wild. I was having a conversation in the barbershop the other day about school and the curriculum and all these different programs in college that, you know, like you can get degrees in everything now. Yeah. And people were questioning, like, why are we changing things to accommodate the odd one or two who don't have the capacity to just sit down and listen in class? Do you know what I mean? Or don't have the capacity to just do basic maths and English. But I'm not saying that Young T and Bugsy are illiterate in any way, shape, or form. But this is just proof that there's different routes of, you know, finding your path and making a very good living for you and your family. You know, like, I'm lucky because I've been telling people for time. See, if you're not sure about what you want to do, find something that you love, innit? Because it will eventually pay off. And not everything's financial. Yeah. But what the position that I'm in now where I can work tomorrow, I could not work the day after, I can switch it around. There's certain people that are literally getting up and doing a 9-to-5 and are under pressure every single day, hating their job every single day. You see these youths? You see these youths, yeah? But fam, I've got to rate them. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't listen to their music. I don't listen to their music, but I've got to rate them, Carl. They're doing amazing things. They are doing amazing things.
Do you know whose job I think is the littest out of the whole world?
Please.
See, Ace gets paid to talk. That's lit.
So if I said I hated my job, I'd be very ungrateful. Is that what you're saying?
Hell yeah.
Bro, think about
Ace. Femi, 1 second. Ace, what album cover does Femi look like right there?
I don't know. Because he's coming through. It's like Death Row.
Is it something like that?
It's Death Row, man, with the black heads.
With the black heads.
Three black heads.
God. Yeah, sorry, Femi. Sorry.
No, but that's lit. Do you know how lit that is? Man just goes on radio. Obviously, there's more to it, Ace, yeah? Like, there's more to every job, yeah? But imagine, like, my kids to my kids, yeah? You just get paid to talk on radio and bust jokes.
Basically.
Really?
Yeah, no, you just go on radio. You go on radio and bust joke.
You see, as a DJ, yeah? Do you actually use any of your DJing skills at your job? You don't.
On my daytime job?
Yeah. Your job.
Oh, like in regards to like DJing? No, I don't. Not really.
You don't.
No, so, but you. I have to have a personality. I have to know about music.
No. Forget that.
What I have to be knowledgeable. I have to be able to project my voice. I got to be able to ask questions and do interviews.
Is right, and I agree 100% because what your skill set as a DJ, you're like number one R&B DJ in the UK.
Yeah.
You use none of that talent. You're technically your 9 to 5 job.
I have broadcasting talent. Not everybody can do this. And it's evident. Because I listen to radio sometimes and I'm like, you're actually not good at this. But there are, like, I'm very good at this. I've been doing this for a long time. No, not everybody can come on the radio and just do the thing. You know what I'm saying?
Big Ace. Man, I'm not trying to put you down here.
No, I hear you. I want you to know that there is a skill into broadcasting. And conducting cohesive interviews and projecting the voice,
trying to find big marks
and hitting music and ramps and jingle idents and all of that kind of stuff and driving the desk. It's hard.
You know, one thing I give you that, yeah, one thing I do give you, you see, when you're talking on the radio, just the ability of turning the music down when you're talking and then turn it back up.
That is not hard. It's not hard. I ride the thing. That's it. It's not hard.
Don't ever say that again. Yeah. Why for that? Yeah. Firstly, but I rate that. Yeah.
Well, I can't ride the thing. All right, sir.
I'll be honest, man. It just dawned on me. I think it's a fantastic job. You should be grateful to God that you've been able to do it for like almost 25 years now.
100%.
Wait, why are you adding years on, fam? Don't do that.
How many years?
August of next year, it'll be 20 years.
Okay.
That's a lot of years.
Well, then, let's hope we get another 20 years out of you. Hopefully, imagine...
Yeah, maybe not in the same way, but I hate
you. But listen, imagine, like, Jenny Francis, the Lady of Soul, iconic. Her show was iconic. Yeah, imagine if you kind of take over that. You're like DJ Ace.
No, there's only one Jenny.
What?
There's only one Jenny.
I know that, but at some point, you understand what I'm saying? That, because right now, I get it, you're on Radio 1 Extra, cool. But imagine, you see, you're everything R&B. Yeah, that's what man logs in. You know that people listen to Jenny Francis to put themselves to sleep, to have a sexy time, for all of that. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if people started walking around in the next 5-10 years talking about Ace and name my son after you because that mix that you've done? Yeah. Come on. Are you mad?
You know what I found interesting? I found interesting that you just said?
What?
You see, like, sexy time, sounds more...
Bro, come on.
Acceptable than sex.
Sexy time sounds more acceptable than sex. I hear what you mean. Sexy time just sounds sexy time sounds playful.
Well, look, sexy
but why
time
is that?
I don't know.
Sexy time doesn't actually necessarily mean it's sex, in it. Like you're just stroking. You understand? You're just like You're just like Imagine that, Ace. Do you have sexy time with your hat on?
No, I don't think I ever. Have I? Sorry. No, I don't think I've ever worn a hat.
Definitely have, bro.
Definitely worn socks. That's about it.
Backwards.
Who are you asking your producer?
Old school, like my hat.
Yeah, I'm asking a producer. Have I ever had sex with my hat on? don't think I've ever had sex with my hat on.
All right, seeing that your producer's there, yeah?
We're going on. Why would you wear a hat? What was the point? What is the point? You're gonna lose the hat, fam.
I don't know. Seeing that your producer's there, yeah. Can we talk about?
No, we can't. I'll get in trouble. Don't. I'll get in trouble. She doesn't want to be embarrassed.
I wasn't gonna bring anything up. But okay, let's move on.
Was you gonna bring up what we talked about earlier? You wasn't.
I was gonna bring up what's the most ridiculous thing you've heard this week.
Ace.
Our family's back in the building.
You're good at gossip. Talk about Jussie Smollett.
Ace, fix your microphone, fam.
Jussie Smollett.
Ace, are you there? Are you there? That's that sexy time face. Do that face again, Ace.
Intentionality. Big Ace.
There you go. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Why are you asking me about Jussie Smollett?
Because I don't really know. I've not really read up the article properly.
I think it's like day 4 of the trial. And the two brothers have gone on the witness stand, and
the two Nigerian
brothers who he allegedly paid to fake this robbery be upting. They've come and said what they need to say. They said that he had a rehearsal of the incident the day before, and it's video of the rehearsal.
Listen, get to the juicy bit. He admitted something in court. What did he admit?
Oh, that he was sleeping with one of the brothers.
They might have just dashed this whole thing out of court because this is just mad.
What? So if it does that mean? Oh, so wait, why is he telling people that? Is that because he's saying that they're lying because we are ex-lovers?
Why
does the fact that he slept with one of them mean that he didn't do this?
Well, what's the court case? Is the court case about whether they robbed him or not?
It's about whether he wasted police time.
But he did.
Setting up a fake robbery.
But he did, because they had rehearsals the day before, like you said.
He hasn't been found guilty yet.
Okay.
And his defense is going to be, nah, them and a lion.
About what?
About him paying us money. Them and a lion about me paying them to beat me up. This was actually really happened.
He's still holding on to that. It's not looking good for him.
Yeah, but just trying it. You got to try a thing, innit? You don't want to get in trouble. It's like, you might as well just keep going, innit? You've already said it. You might as well just keep going. Just keep, like, ride it until the wheels fall off, innit? The truth is, he cannot turn around now and be like, oh, yeah, sorry, I was lying.
You know, the funny thing
that's
is...
That's worse. You know, just got to keep going.
No. Do you know why you can? I'm going to tell you why you can. You see, there's a point in all court hearings, yeah, where they say to you, listen, if you want to change your thing now and tell us what really happened, you can tell us in it now. It's a good time. You see, if you go beyond that and you waste people's time, then it gets proven that you was lying all this time. That's why you get extra time on your sentence. We could have done this long time ago, but you took us on a stupid journey where you didn't have to save money.
Well, this is the thing. He's not going to, even if he does go to jail, he's not going to have like loads of time. He'll probably do like 30 days or 6 months at the most. He won't get a big sentence for this. He probably won't even get a sentence at all. Like, if he's lucky, they'll ask him to pay back the money that he owes from using police time. And what you have to remember is he's going to keep denying this even if he's found guilty, because if you keep denying it, someone's going to believe you. And hopefully you'll get some, because a lot of people don't believe you. But if you keep saying, no, this actually happened to me, some people are actually going to believe you.
Do you believe him?
No. But he's got fans that be like, no, Jussie would never lie to us. Do you know what I'm saying? You might as well just keep saying no.
He's got fans outside the jail right now.
Exactly. So you might as well just keep saying, no, I didn't do it. You might as well. Even though you know, everybody knows you did. If you just keep denying it, some people are going to believe you. And then you can save face that way. Just chat to them, innit? You just keep your core fan base over there and just deal with them over there. But the world may again know that you allegedly did this, because we don't know if he did or he didn't. Chances are he did, but who knows? Just you got to keep denying it.
Remind us what it was for again, because it was so long ago, I can't even remember.
So the story was, he went out at 3 o'clock in the morning, around that time, to get a sandwich from Subway. And when he got there, two white guys approached him. Yeah. And they're like rednecks.
They had a noose.
They said, you're that F word, N word from Empire.
Yeah.
I think he got rude to them. And then they beat him up, poured bleach on him, and put a noose around his neck. And he kept the noose on and went and walked all the way home, and then called the police and said, this happened to me. When the police got there, the noose was still around his neck. And he said he didn't touch it because he didn't want to tamper with the evidence.
See what I mean? Come on. Come on, please.
Comedy.
You gotta keep denying it, bro. You have to. You just gotta deny till you die, bro. You have to.
Man said he didn't want to tamper with evidence.
Take that off your neck, bruv. What's wrong with you? That's crazy. And you know the police didn't come straight away, so he was sitting there for a good hour with that thing around his neck. Just waiting for them to come.
You know what? No, he wasn't, cuz, because it never happened.
Or you put it on just before they reached.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who is it? Okay, one second. Oh man. But also that goes to show, like, I was talking about this on the radio with Shawnee today. Like, he obviously thought their man were his brethren, isn't it? And as soon as it got hot, they just exposed him.
Bro. Like,
you gotta be careful who your brethren are. I was talking about this, the girl from Love Island who was caught in Dubai. Allegedly, actually, we don't know if she was actually doing it, but it looks like she was sniffing coke, yeah, in Dubai.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about that.
And
yeah.
For me, like, a lot of people are like, oh, she shouldn't be sniffing coke. People do that. It is what it is. I don't do it. My people don't do it. And nobody I know does that stuff. But for me, the bigger story is who shot that? Because she's obviously, that could only be your brethren that has shot that video. That could only be somebody that you consider close to you, that you got comfortable enough to do that in front of. They've shot that and they sold it to the Sun. Mad thing. That's not a bridging.
You know what the worst thing is? This ain't like 20 years ago. You're not getting that much pee for these stories no more.
Nah.
You don't. Like, I remember I used to cut one rapper and he told me to sell a story about him. Because I can't. Because I think the tabloids or paparazzis or whoever they are were getting at his people, and they were offering his people like 20, 30 racks for a story about him. And he was like, oh, you might as well do that. I said, what? I said, brother. I said, all right, I could have done with the P, but like that.
What are you going to say? What does he want you to say?
No, I know what it was about.
Okay.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I know what it's about, but if the word got out, you know, like how you've broken it down now, that can only have come from a certain...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just like, nah, that and that's scummy, because I realised at the beginning of my career, I'm in certain environments and places that people would actually, like, kill for, pay lots of pee for me to, like, just abuse your trust. Bro, I'm around jewelry, I'm around money, I'm around people's families, people's kids. Like, what, to just start? Nah, I think that's the biggest violation.
100%.
That's a mad it's not violation.
Like, and it's blatantly not like, so like, I've heard about situations where a brethren's been snapping in a club and a man's been caught because he's in the back of the snap.
Yeah.
Like, them things happen. That's an accident, isn't it? Like, that's an accident. You've got your brethren in trouble. Because you were in the club, you were snapping, whatever, and he's been caught doing something that he shouldn't have. That's an accident. This person has got the camera on her while she's doing whatever, and you sold that. Like, that is effery. That is not your brethren. Like, that is not your friend.
But even that, it's like, you must be aware. Bro, I'm going to tell you how paranoid I am, I don't even like having my phone out when I'm at certain people's houses. And I'm just answering the phone. to you, man, or Aisha or whatever. I'm paranoid thinking, are they thinking that I'm trying to secretly record something or something like that?
Right.
Like, I'm mad. Like, I've had certain customers that are like, oh, yeah, you can film, but film once you've done this bit, because they might have like a little hair loss problem. So they're like, oh, don't show that bit.
Yeah.
But once we've done it, and I'm like, yeah, cool, it's not a problem.
Yeah.
So if you're with people, that's a liberty. And if they've got, you know, the ones they're like, of all things that you're filming man doing cocaine. Nah, that's weird.
Like, there's something wrong with people that just want to snap things all the time, especially if we're somewhere. Like, people don't know need to know where we are right now.
Yeah.
This moment, yeah. Like, post it later when we're gone. But you don't need to be posting it. Like, there's people that are too excited and want to put everything on the gram as well. Like,
yeah, chill out.
Those people you need to be careful of. 100%. It's dangerous.
Yeah, definitely. What else we got to talk about? Is there a couple more things or?
No. On an hour now.
All right. Well, before we go, it would have been good. I know is Femi on? He's just muted. Like, we kind of spoken about this before. Are you on the comments? Can you see the comments?
Yeah.
All right. So hopefully we get some interaction from our listeners. So we kind of spoke about this maybe over a year ago, but this is a bit more deeper. It's a relationship call. It's a bit more technical. You might have heard us talk about it on Trim Talk with Ace of Shawnee B this Monday, but we're going to talk about it here because I would like to hear the listeners' response or see the listeners' response. So, couple together, been together for a couple of years. Everything's fine. The guy has started to notice that when the family come round to visit, when her family come round to visit, you know, I wish Femi was here because I'd like to get Femi's take on this. Femi, can you hear us? Are you about or have you just disappeared? You just locked off?
Actually, you probably died, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, we're just dealing with the listeners. When the family come around, when it's dinner time, his partner, his missus, gives her dad more food than him. Noticeably more food than him. Like, a couple of times he wasn't really like bothered about it. But then I think he set up a little situation where, like, I think he went out and bought food for this occasion. And you know when you know you've got X amount of people coming around, you know roughly how much chicken to buy. You're giving people like 2 pieces, but then you're going to buy an extra couple pieces just in case. So he's done this now, and he's noticed. Femi, were you listening to what we were saying?
Nah, I just heard. I wish Femi was around to hear this.
All right, so let me run it back, because I want your views on this. Long and short, we've spoken about this before, but this one's a different scenario, and it got a bit spicy. Long and short, couple together, couple years, every time her family comes around, she dishes out more food for her dad than her man. Yeah. Her man's noticed this a couple times. Then he set up a little thing where he's actually gone and bought specific amounts of chicken. He bought specific amounts of chicken. He's seen 3 pieces of chicken on the dad's plate. He's seen 2 on his plate. He's like, nah. Said something to the missus, like, yo, why go after this? She's like, listen, it's my dad. Like, I'm always going to give him the most amount of food. He's like,
I agree with her.
More food than me.
I agree.
Okay. So his argument
this guy is definitely West Indian.
He's actually not, funny enough.
Where's he from? Nigeria?
He's actually not, funny enough.
Where's he from?
He's from Aces people.
He's from Ghana.
He's from Aces people.
Ghanaians though, they just don't get that the principles in it. Cause
no, don't try it. Cause Damon, what did I say? I said, look, when my daughter becomes of age and leaves the house, when my daughter becomes of age, my firstborn, Ashana, I love you and you're my best friend. When she becomes of age and she leaves the house to go and get with a man, when I turn up to the house, I'm getting a big piece of chicken. because I raised her, fam. I raised her from a youth to who she is today to whoever this man fell in love with. So when I sit down at the table, I want a big piece of chicken. The breast, the thigh. I want whatever piece I want. Don't ever try to put a wing on my plate, fam. I want the big piece. I don't care who, if he's screwing or not. I'm her dad, number one, the man. So I'm getting excited.
If my missus gives the big meat to her dad, I won't mind, man.
There you go.
You bust me on her still.
Oh, Damon would be upset.
Nah, listen, but this guy's argument, yeah, this guy's argument was these people are coming around regular. See, it's affected his, you understand? Yeah. And obviously, it's ego, isn't it? It's ego. He's like, you're not even giving us equal amounts, and a man can go eat. This is, he goes, the maddest thing is, yeah, he goes, there's been a couple of times where she's given him more food, a man hasn't eaten it all. So he's like, what's the point in that? You're just wasting the thing.
Nah, it's a cultural, do you know what? It's a cultural thing. It's a cultural thing. Do you know what it is? For me, it's a cultural thing. And also, maybe because I was brought up in Nigerian culture. And you see, in Nigerian culture, in Yoruba culture, yeah, it's very hierarchical. So, like, the older you are, like, people have to show respect to their elders in all aspects of society. Do you get what I'm saying? So, like, even if it's, like, it's like, you know, the only example I can think of is in the UK is like when you see an old person on a bus and you get up to let them sit down. That exists across the board. For me, in Nigerian culture, that exists across the board. If someone's a year older than me, normally in Nigerian culture, I have to call them like brother this or sister that or auntie this or uncle this. I've got cousins that are older than me and I call them like auntie. But they're my cousins, like they're my legit cousins, but they're so much older than me that I have to add the extra, you know, layer of respect. Do you know what I mean? And so I just feel like within Nigerian culture, I don't even think nothing of that because that's what the culture is. Like, it's like whenever there's an older person, they get the best treatment. They get the most meat. There's one piece of meat. He's eating that meat and I'm going without. Do you get what I'm saying? Even though it's my house and I paid for the meat. Do you know what I mean? So I just feel like
Do you think in this day and age, yeah, that we're losing this? Like we're losing culture, we're losing these cultural values. Like the generation aren't doing things like opening the door for the elderly, you know, and actually addressing that. Because somebody I was talking about the other day, is even at schools now when they're telling the kids not to call their teachers by Mr. or Mrs. They're telling them to call it by their first name. And I'm like, see, when KB gets older, that's not running. Like, it's not running. You understand? You're not calling them Stephen or James, my teacher's
name. Did you see the video of the schoolgirl and the auntie?
Nah.
You didn't see that?
Uh-uh.
Femi, did you see that?
No, tell us.
So there's a video of a young schoolgirl. She was probably about, I'm going to say she was about 14, 15, maybe at the most. And an auntie, and they were fighting in a chicken shop. Basically, they had an argument. We don't know what happened before, but the video starts and then it's back and forth. And the young girl is giving it as good as she's like, you don't know me. Who are you to speak to me like that? And the auntie's like, you know what I mean? She's just expecting the younger to give her like automatic respect. But the younger's on some, look, I don't really know you. Who are you to shout at me? Why do I have to respect you? And they're just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth until the girl, I think, calls the auntie a fool. And the auntie's just like, you're calling me a fool. And then goes to, and then there's a little scuffle and then the video cuts off. And when the video was going around, everybody was just asking, well, who's in the wrong? Because yes, a woman shouldn't be able to put her hands on a child that she doesn't know, but also the child maybe shouldn't be reading up to her older. It's like...
This is the thing. Yes, you should.
Nah.
Yes,
you can't. You should. Nah.
Listen.
That can't run today, bro. She can't...
Hold on. I never said... See, that's the thing. You see this whole today, and this is the problem. I understand that today is a different day. I understand today is a different day, but I expect, because this is the thing, yeah. See, at 14 or 13, who are you? Like, who are you on this planet? Who are you on this planet? You don't pay tax. You don't pay no bills. Yeah. Who are you? Like, who are you on this planet? Because you see me. What you don't realize is what I am on this planet has probably contributed to who you are today. What I am on this planet is probably allowing you to be able to walk down this road. Yeah. And I'm not talking about our man's a bad man, but the stuff that we've had to go through with racist people and the police, yeah, is why you can just walk freely down the road and have the attitude that you have. So yes, we might have a disagreement and we can argue that we can have a conversation about the disagreement and argue it out. But you see this whole part where you start to get rude and you start to lose yourself. Now you need to get tumped down.
I really wish you lot could see the video. Because I'll be honest, I've got so many mixed feelings. Like, the little girl is rude. She's backing herself. But then it's like, the auntie's definitely got this. The vibe of like, who are you to say anything to me?
Absolutely.
She
should have that vibe, because you're saying she's backing herself. Backing yourself to who? What is there to back?
Well, we ain't see what happened at the beginning, so we don't know where the argument came from.
You know, there's certain situations, yeah. You just have to hold it. And this is the problem. See, these youngers today, they don't understand that concept of you just have to hold it. They believe they are as big and as bad as anybody out on road, yeah. Where the reality is, you just have to hold it. Shut your mouth and hold it. It's not a dis- but it is what it is, isn't it? It is what it is. Person's older than me. Look, man's older. Man's wiser. Man's more intelligent. Yeah? Shut your mouth. You've got nothing to say to me. Absolutely nothing to say. Nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing at all.
Unks. Can we talk about Wicked and Bad then before we go?
I know people want us to talk about it. You know what though?
I don't know if there's anything to say about it. But what do you want to say about it for me? Because based on Bouncer's fight with Arms, I think you could have him anyway. So run the thing. Say what you want to say.
You know what, Bouncer? A few times, he seems like a really cool guy, and I feel like we all make mistakes and we all, it's complicated, right? So then obviously, just to give context, Little Man, not our little man, Little Man is a vertically challenged person. I don't know what the word to use for that type of person is.
Dwarfism, ain't it?
Yeah, so he's got dwarfism. And so he was doing like funny things online. This is how I know about him. He was doing funny things online, but it was a guy who was in jail. He did this really funny video that went viral. Came out of jail. He had like then started doing online videos that were funny. Was managed by a Bouncer. He was Krypton Conan's brethren that was also like had been in jail. Came out, turned his life around, became manager, was managing Dig That, this rapper. Then started managing Little Man. So apparently, Little Man came up with all these slogans, all these ideas, and Bouncer trademarked this phrase, Wicked and Bad, right? Which Little Man...
Little Man as well.
And Little Man, he trademarked Little Man. And Little Man obviously came up with... Well, he was Little Man, and Wicked and Bad was his phrase. And then he put on these fights for Little Man and another dwarf guy, and they had a fight, and apparently Little Man got paid 8,500, and the next fight he got paid 10k, but they were massively promoting it. These fights obviously did well online. They were trending within Black British culture on the internet, within the digital space. And so his argument is that obviously Bouncer has bombed him, because Bouncer owned his name. Bouncer also didn't pay him that much money for what they were doing. And he shouldn't have done that. And then obviously Bouncer's come back out fighting, saying, well, I built his Instagram before he came out of jail. And I just gave it to him. It already had 50,000 followers. I also, like, you know, I also invested loads of money into the fight. I've invested loads of money into him. And I think he even said that he lived at his house or whatever. And, like, he gave him, like, you know, access to loads of things. Do you think, yeah, I suppose my question is nothing to do with this. Do you think, and Little Man's argument is that I don't read or write. I signed this agreement with him. I don't read or write. Firstly, yeah, if you can't read or write, do you think you should always just give contracts to people that can, that you trust? Yeah. And number two, do you think, yeah, it's ever clear cut with artists and management in terms of investment?
No.
Why do you say that? Elaborate.
Because I think, I'm actually going to speak on the manager's side. I think sometimes the artists don't necessarily see what the managers put in. And they gain a lot from the work that the manager has done behind the scenes. And they wouldn't be in positions that they're in if it wasn't actually for the manager. And that's not for me to say, oh, that 50% is fair or whatever. But Bouncer obviously had the vision and started the Instagram and started to get all the ducks in a row for when he got out. And then he came out and they started just, it started popping, it started to move.
So basically, Bouncer just knew how to monetize.
Yeah.
Little Man.
Yeah. Let's ask the question, like, would Little Man have been able to do a lot of that stuff had it had not been for Bouncer? Or would he have just come out of jail?
And also, remember, Bouncer was already well known within the scene.
Mm.
Bouncer was, like, established because
you know what it is? It's ifs and buts, innit? It's ifs and buts. I remember years ago when my daughter was born, one of the first Australian guys that I knew, yeah, he was a rapper, Australian rapper, and it was him and some girl. Yeah, so he was rapping and the girl was singing. And they came over there and I was getting them gigs, yeah. And I remember speaking to Matt Jam Lamont about this. And I was saying to him, like, try to hook up some kind of record deal. Yeah. And Matt Jam was like, oh, I listen to them, you know, they sound all right. They you know, they could probably go somewhere, yeah. And he said to me, like, have you got a contract with these people? And I'm like, no, they're my brethren. He goes, D, you see this brethren thing? It does not work. But I was genuinely doing it off the goodness of my own heart. So I'm talking about maybe 4 or 5 meetings and performances or whatever. And he's like, you see this goodness of your own heart? He goes, them man will blow tomorrow. How much money are you supposed to get? And I was like, I don't know. He said, exactly. He goes, I advise you to stop what you're doing and get a contract in place. And I'm like, I couldn't bring myself, like, you're my brethren. And I suppose that's the thing. I suppose, what was the relationship between Little Man and Bouncer? Because if they were kind of brethren and it crossed over before man was like, yo, let me manage you, then obviously there's a situation there, because as brethren, you feel that people are going to do stuff for you for free. And not free, they're just going to do stuff for you because they're your brethren. Yeah. When money gets involved and business gets involved, it gets very, very technical.
One thing a lot of people were talking about was the 8.5 bags for the first fight and the 10 bags for the second fight.
I don't see a problem with that.
I know, like, yeah, I don't know if people are looking at Mayweather numbers or like, do you know what I mean? Like, what do people expect?
You know something that I noticed?
What?
And you know something that, like, I noticed, yeah? You see, if I give you 8, you see, if I give you 5 grand to DJ, yeah, at an event that I have every month, yeah, 5 bags to DJ. You're nice, innit? Because you're thinking, right, 5 bags, that's mad. You're the happiest DJ in the world.
I'm doing a calculation. That's 60 bags.
Do you know when you stop being happy?
When you find out you're making 20.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and my argument has always been, what's what I'm eating got to do with you? It's got nothing to do with you. Mm. What?
Pardon me.
You understand what I'm saying? Were you happy? Are you
all this pocket watching?
Don't watch my earnings, yeah?
Bro, because realistically, and this is where I kind of understand what Bounce is saying. Ace, all you have to do is turn up and DJ for 3 hours. I'm the one that's making the calls to the venue. I'm the one that's putting my P up front. I'm the one that's doing this. I'm the one. See, when you're running out, doing your little man, wicked and bad, you know, 2 minute skip, 5 minute skip. That's 2 minutes, 5 minutes. Let's call it half an hour. I'm doing a day's prep for that. You understand what I'm saying? So I think you're right. A lot of people don't actually see what managers actually do behind the scenes. I think managing is easy. Managing is not easy. I can barely manage my own appointments, but yet manage somebody else's career. Yeah.
Life. Their life.
Their life, you're right. And there's so much expectations that come in. Like, when you manage somebody, they're looking at you like, if it's not working, why ain't it working?
And that's the thing. And
when it's popping, it's like they forget all the stuff that you've done.
When it's popping, do you know what Kanye West said that I found really interesting? I think this is extreme. He goes, in his Drink Champs interview, he said he was chatting to a manager and the manager said he hates artists because they take 80% of his money.
Go on. Of his money, even though they're artists.
No, but he breaks it down because it's like, actually, because what Kanye was referring to is that a lot of the time the artists don't even come up with the ideas. So it's the manager's business plan and the artist is just following. I'm not saying this is pure, like I said, but it's an interesting way to look at it, right? If you're looking at from a really good manager, if you've got a really sick manager, yeah, like they basically should be coming up with like 80% of the ideas just to get 20% of the money.
But this is the thing. It doesn't matter how good of a manager you are, if you don't have the artist to put that vision into, you understand? If you were that good, put it into yourself. Why did you not?
Facts.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
you're right.
And I don't think either side is right or either side is wrong. It's mad because without the manager, you haven't got the talent. But without the talent, you haven't got the... You understand? The talent needs being directed by the manager, but the manager needs somebody to direct. So... And the thing is, unlike sport, if the artist isn't successful, the manager, nothing happens to the manager. Do you know what I mean? Like, we don't know who a lot of these people's managers are. Whereas in sport, if the team doesn't do well, the manager's the first person to get sacked. But the team continue to go off and do whatever they're doing. Mm-hmm. When it comes to this kind of stuff, film, music, if the actual artist isn't doing whatever for whatever reason, no one hears about the manager. The manager just moves on to managing the other artists or whatever and continues. Do you know what I mean? So nothing. So they're not really held responsible for anything. Do you know what I mean? Like, look at all of the famous people that we know. That
like, no, but forget all that. Yeah, just think about it. I'm sure R. Kelly had a manager. Where are they now? Like, they're living their lives.
No, but, and that's my point. If you look at all of the famous actors and musicians that have fallen off, that we can say has fallen off, yeah, for whatever reason, at no point has anyone said, oh, it's the manager's fault. Oh, they probably have, but not mass. You understand what I'm saying? Like, no one ain't reaching for the manager like, nah, this is your fault. Brother. Even when artists turn up drunk, singing on stage drunk and all of them things there, or, you know, your vocals are all over the gap, ain't no one looking at the manager like, oh, big man, what I want for you? Everyone's on the artist. So the pressure's on the artist. So I don't know if that throws something else into the mix, but... I don't know. Them two, I don't know.
I hope they resolve it. But my eyes are red.
Maybe I can find out. I don't know what you're doing now with this sexy time, the way you're holding the camera. What's all this?
My eyes are so red and very, like, they're closing. That's why.
Is that why your eyes are like that? I thought Femi really come on the camera and doing some sexy time with his
no,
eyes.
No, my eyes, I'm really tired. I'm
seductive
really tired.
And them thing there. Seductive.
Yeah, man, we got female listeners, watchers. Yeah. Come on, man. Give them something, innit? Yeah. Give them something in the red, you know, cut the chat, little scissors in the mouth, you know. Let them know the grey streak is streaking. Get computers viewing.
Femi, stop now. Stop now before...
My missus is asleep, man. She didn't even say up to say hello to me. You know them ones where you get home, yeah, and they're not even awake? Like, didn't even say hello, bro. Just fast asleep, fam. Allow me, man. It's not even, like, 11 o'clock.
All right, let's lock this off before you get into trouble.
Yeah, let's not get him in trouble. All right, we'll be back next week, same time. Probably be on time next week.
Bye, ladies. It's for my ladies.
Wait, subscribe, comment. Can I lock off the thing?